Yes, it is. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, for the time that you've gotten us in. And Father God, we just praise you and thank you for all that you've already taught us and how to believe you for all the things that come before us. And we praise you for the authority and the power that you've given us through your Holy Spirit. And we ask, Father, that you fill us up tonight to overflowing. And we praise and thank you, Father, for all that you're going to accomplish through this little fellowship group here and those across the world that are listening. Father God, we just praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished tonight. We're coming into a wonderful time, Lord, to show the glory of your love for your people. And we praise you. And we thank you for all that's accomplished tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anybody got a prayer request? I want to pray for Frank in the name of Jesus right now. I command this spirit of infirmity off of him. I don't care what you call yourself. He's a child of God. He doesn't have to put up with it. You said you would do whatever we speak in the name of Jesus. Well, in the name of Jesus right now, I speak that Frank is healed and delivered from this spirit of infirmity on him. Right now, in Jesus' name, I command a pain to go. Be gone from his whole body in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that Frank is completely healed, delivered, and set free by the word of God, by the stripes of Jesus, and by the blood of the King. Thank you, Lord, for healing Frank. He's already healed. We believe it, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I've got some wonderful testimony tonight that I'm going to share with you if I get time. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Terry. You'll have to unmute. Just hit that little icon with the microphone on it.
If you tap your screen, and then you'll see the microphone and camera thing pop up on the bottom left.
Just hit it with your fist.
No, your, don't do just that. Tap the screen.
Yeah. Ow.
I have a testimony, but I'll wait for them to come on here and share.
On that phone, isn't there an icon for a microphone? Bottom left-hand corner.
Yeah, sometimes you have to tap the screen. Just tap the screen so it pops up. So it populates on your screen.
Tap at the bottom of your screen, towards the bottom of your screen.
Not hit it with just your finger. Boop. You're going around and around she goes. Where she stops, nobody knows. Let me, all right, let's see.
Did we do it?
You did it. You did it.
I was trying to say, go ahead, Julie. It wasn't working. But, I actually would like some prayer for the new semester starts tomorrow at school. And I actually have a new job, so I have more students than I've ever had before. Because I've taught part time, and I have like 108 students, and so I just want a prayer for that. And my husband is gonna
going to start it. Yeah.
For the semester that I plant seeds, I know that God has called me to plant seeds in my students' lives. And it's so if that's okay with you guys.
Okay.
Bye.
I'll pray. Father God, we just come to you now in the name of Jesus, thanking you in advance for all that you're going to do. And I thank you for this new year, Father, that you've given us. And I pray that you'll be with us during this year. And we ask that your will is going to be done in our lives, Father. And I just do lift up my bride, Jennifer, that you would just continue to be with her. And I lift her up, Father, and be with her as she teaches. And I just pray that through her, people will know without a doubt that she loves Jesus. And Father, that she wants to communicate the love of Jesus through her teaching, Father, and so that souls will be saved. And I just pray that you'll just be with her, give her the words to say, the confidence to say it. There's going to be a lot of students, a lot of temptations, a lot of things that will be distracting. And I just pray that you would just keep her focused on what you want her to do. Father, we truly believe that you gave her this job to be around these young students, to be an influence on them. And I just pray that you would open the heart of these students as they listen to her and see her example. And we just lift them up, Father, and just be with each one of us that's in this group, Father. And we just ask for your blessings on them. That your will is done, and we love and thank you in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Father God, we do. We put our faith together with Terry and Jenny. And we thank you, Lord, that you are giving her supernatural wisdom and discernment into the things that she's going to be needing this year with these students. And we thank you, Father, that when she walks in the room, they're going to see Jesus. Not only that, Lord, she's going to speak Jesus. And they're going to know that there is a love there that they've never seen before. Some of these kids are going to need it. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that she has love for all of them. She'll have the heart of Jesus for these children. And I praise you and thank you that that wisdom's going to show through as well in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Anybody else?
Thank you.
Amen.
You
That's going to happen. It's going to happen. You watch. You're going to speak things you never thought you would before. I'm speaking this. We declare it.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
All
Amen. I
right.
see it. I see it. I see it in the spirit. Oh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead. The Holy Spirit's all over me right now. He's going to use you in a mighty way. He's going to use you in a mighty way. These kids are going to love you, and they're going to come to you with things that you've never heard before, but God's going to give you wisdom. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. You're an awesome God, Lord. You're so awesome. Praise be to God. Just tell Jesus every morning, Jenny, before you go in and say, Lord, I thank you that you're with me. And you can sit over here beside me on the desk or wherever you want to sit and just enjoy yourself in here, and he'll be there. Guarantee it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And the angels are going to fill your rooms up. Boy, that's what I saw last night, y'all. I saw just a mirage, not a mirage, but what's that word you use when there's a lot of them? There's a bunch of them.
Myriads, myriads, and
Myriads. Thank you.
myriads.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Myriads and myriads of angels last night in our fellowship. Praise God. You're going to see the same thing. You may not see it, but you're going to feel it and you're going to know it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful work that you've got her involved in. And I thank you, Lord, that these kids are going to be blessed because of her. In Jesus' name, amen. All
Thank you.
right. Glory to God. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Julie asked, but I don't think Jennifer saw it. What are you going to be teaching?
I teach, hear me? I don't know if you can hear me. I teach anatomy and physiology to mostly nursing students, but all my students are going into the medical field. So I'm in the biological sciences, so I have an opportunity to teach. There's a couple different points in my lectures where, I teach anyways, where I can, I sprinkle seed, I plant seeds. I feel like that's what the Lord has called me to do. And so especially being in the biological sciences, it's so saturated with evolution. And like I go in there and I'm like, no, I don't believe in
Amen.
evolution. I mean, and I'll debate anybody, anywhere, anytime on evolution. And
And win.
yeah. But anyways, yeah, so it's yeah, anatomy, human anatomy and physiology is
Is
what
this a college? Is this a college
I'm
course? Sounds like it.
yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
I never did take that one.
yeah, so
Okay, well, you're going to have a wonderful year.
I thank you.
Amen.
But I liked what you said, like every day when I go in there. And I pray in my car sometimes, but just to pray in my room, I don't always do that. But the
Pray
thing.
in the spirit. Pray in the spirit as you go. That's what
Yeah.
I do all the time. Yeah, Julie.
I would encourage you too, if you can, before the classes start, go in there and anoint the room with oil. It's all by faith. And just, God's going to do something great, like Michael said. I can't wait to hear all the testimonies, sister.
Yeah. It's neat to see, like, sometimes when I'll say these little things throughout the entire course, part of my lectures, and then you'll see them start wearing their Jesus t-shirts and stuff like that, because they're all trying to, but it is neat to see, that kind of come around. And even some of the very liberal students that are there, because they know that I care about them, and like what you guys were just praying about, just give me that love for the students and let them feel that love for me, from me, from the Lord through me, really makes a difference in even the very, because there's a lot of, very liberal.
Misguided.
And yeah, the youth of today, this age, with the transgender stuff and the pink and purple hair and boys dressing like girls, girls dressing like boys, and but I love them and I plant seeds and I but I do some of that. I need that boldness to be more blatant, I was last semester. Something came up, and I mean, I don't want to start talking about my lectures or anything, but just like I said, like planting seeds, and a student goes, "Well, how did we get here then?" And I just said, "God, God, that's how we got here, So like little things like that that come up throughout the semester, just to be bold and to get the opportunity to get questions from them too.
Like
Is
Eve, like Eve,
some
about Eve.
yeah, I teach about Eve, like Adam and Eve, like it's proven, it's a mitochondrial Eve. Everybody believes that we all came from one woman. It's scientifically proven. That's part of my lecture that doesn't get taught in regular biology classes. And so anyways, I know Julie had a testimony, so I didn't want to kind of I can start talking, and then it's hard to get me to shut up. So,
Thank you. Yeah, you can mute the same way you unmuted.
Michael unmuted us. We never figured it out.
Are you okay?
I can mute you too. Just never remember. Don't never forget that I can mute you anytime. Okay.
I bet Terry wishes he could do that.
Yeah, I bet.
I don't know.
Oh,
yeah, okay. All
better stop, sister.
right. Okay. All right, Julie.
Okay.
I'll go ahead
Are
and
you
get
gonna?
you, Jenny.
Okay, thank her. Thank you. Well, last time we met on the 31st of December, New Year's Eve, I shared with you all that I had a leak in the ceiling, my dining room, the ceiling, and they were gonna, he come out, take pictures of it and stuff, and said that they would get somebody out here as soon as they could. But they put the work order in, and he told me, he goes, it's really busy because we've had this rain and stuff, and they're busy and stuff. It'd probably be a week or two before they come out. So I said, okay, well, it's fine, whatever. I'm just thinking, I'm just praying, like you all agree with me, it's not going to rain and leak through my ceiling and cause a mess, and which did not happen because we got some nice rain, but nothing real heavy. Well, anyhow, yesterday, which was Monday, the first business day of the year, I get a text message and a phone call follow up that the roofing company had an opening for the afternoon and if I was available. So I called him back and I was like, yeah, I'm home. It's like, so he goes, we'll be there within the hour. So they came out and they couldn't access it through, they couldn't go check through the attic. I don't know. He said, I don't know what was up there. He said there wasn't a handle or something. I'm not sure what that meant. But the two guys that came out, one was like a trainee and the other guy was a supervisor. The trainee, I open up my door and there's this giant standing there with shoulders out to here. I just like, okay, you're gonna get up in my attic? That's what I first thought. And he was the one that's supposed to go up there. And I said, he's 6'5" and he's got shoulders out here. And I looked and I said, are you a football player or did you play football? And he said, yeah. It was obvious he was built that way. Anyhow, it was kind of funny. And I was teasing. I said, no, don't get stuck up there in the attic. Don't get stuck up there, because he had to go all the way over to the edge of the roof and it slants, right? He's like, no guarantees. He was kidding. But anyhow, he couldn't go up there because he said when he looked up there and with his flashlight and stuff, he said it wasn't doable. So they had to tear off tiles and go through the roof to find the leak. They found it and fixed it, and they were in and out of here probably within an hour and a half. So I just want to praise and thank God for the favor he's given me here, and the grace that he's shown me here with man and with him, of course. And he answered that prayer, and he got him out here so soon. And they did a really good job, and they were good. They were good about what they did, and they were knowledgeable, and they had a sense of humor. And anyhow, it was all good. And I just praise you, Lord, for blessing them because they blessed me. And they had got it done before it got dark, because it gets dark out here like at 4:30-ish or so, 4:30, quarter to five. It starts getting really dark. I'm just like, are you gonna have time? And the light. They just kind of looked at me like, let us do it, right? But anyhow, thank you, Lord, for doing all that for me. And let's pray blessings on them, God, in Jesus' name, that got resolved in Jesus' name. And I also got a new door lock and handle on my apartment and all that. It's nice and spiffy and new, and got that done too, and found favor with my maintenance and everybody here, Lord. And you've been really good to me, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. That's awesome. Anyone else got a prayer or a testimony? All right, Julie, you got a song you want to sing us?
The one I sang earlier, didn't you? Wasn't that a good? That wasn't good enough.
No.
Okay, I agree. You gonna give me share permissions?
I did.
Thank you so much.
Listen to that. Go on with your loving self, girl. Glory to God. RESPCT.
Just as I am, one only plea, in that the blood once shed was shed for me, and drew me to a covenant place where I found mercy in the year of grace. No condemnation now for me. Your word has touched my heart, and now I see that in heaven stands to plead my case the one who found me in the year of grace. O Son of God, sweet Son of Man, the author of redemption's plan, eternal God in time and space, oh keep me ever in the year of grace. Your whispered words have stirred my heart to praise. And on love unbound I fix my gaze, where I first saw you in the year of grace. In life and death, whom shall I fear? Closer than breath I feel you near. Oh, hold me in your strong, where I find rest within the year of grace. In life, in death, whom shall I fear? Closer than breath I feel you near. Oh, hold me in your strong, where I find rest within the year of grace. In life and death, whom shall I fear? Closer than breath I feel you near. Oh, hold me in your strong embrace, where I find rest within the year of grace. Oh, hold me in your strong embrace, where I find rest within the year of grace.
Thank you, Lord. That's a good one. I hadn't heard anything out of him in a long time. That's my fault, though. That's not his. All right. Anybody else got something they want to talk about? Yeah, Julie.
Yeah, I was reading something today in the book Word, Women in Authority, and God really spoke to me today about something. Can I grab my book and share it real quick?
Yeah, hurry.
Oh, let me find it, Lord. What out? As most of you know, I've got an issue here. My neighbor's been going through some stuff, and I've been trying to be a witness to him and such, and just be led of the Lord. Anyhow, there's the chapter here. I'm in page 140-41. It's the end of this chapter here.
What book?
It's about a dream, Word, Women, and Authority.
Okay. That's a good book.
And there's a dream that this sister had about, she was staying at her son's house and her neighbors upstairs were fighting and they were doing warfare and stuff, and then she asked for a passage from the Lord for I don't know if it was for the dream, but anyhow it was Job 22:29. When they cast thee down, thou shalt say, there is lifting up, and the humble person he will save, he will deliver even him that is not innocent. Yea, he shall be delivered through the cleanness of thy hands. And David writes, notice that if your hands are clean, if you're obedient to the Lord, he will hear your prayers for other people. Praise God. If not, you're an Ahab who is submitted to Jezebel. It goes, it's, da, da, da. And then it goes on. That part right there just really jumped out at me. It's like, you know, praying for my neighbor, praying for our loved ones, praying for people who they're not innocent, you know, but if our hands are clean, God's going to hear our prayers for them. So that really encouraged me. And then, where was the other part here? Hold on, I'm sorry. Just a moment. That was the main thing. Okay, then also it's like in the nat. Okay, this is part of the dream. In the natural, my son is now aware of the need to pray for others in his apartment building. And I'm reminded of how much we need to pray for our neighbors too. Yes, we need to pray for our neighbors as much as we pray for ourselves. Galatians 5:13. For ye brethren, we're called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion for the flesh, but through love, be servants one to another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You will, David writes, you will be blessed when you pray for your neighbors. In Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they give into your bosom. For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And David writes, give of your time, give of your prayer, give of your sacrifice for those around you. If there's anybody in your assembly that needs prayer, remember them and God will bless you. Anyhow, that kind of some of the stuff I've been dealing with and going through with my neighbor and stuff. And that really helped me today when I read that, because it's exactly the kind of thing that I've been doing and believing, you know, and I can't change him. I can't change his circumstances. I can't help him outside of what I've been doing. And it's all God. He's got to do what he's got to do. So I'm just believing that, you know, Lord's going to use all these things in our prayers. You know, you guys have all prayed with me for Fred, and I appreciate that. And I thank you, God, that you've heard our prayers of agreement and things we've prayed in the spirit that are perfect will regarding my neighbor. And that somehow, God, you're going to use all this and my witness, my testimony, my care for him in the ways that I've been able to do that, Lord, that nothing is wasted. And I bless him in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. He can't help where he's at, what he is, what he knows. He doesn't know any better. And I thank you for giving me the grace to do what I've been doing there in Jesus' name. Amen. And that we all have been praying for people in our lives. We've all been praying for the lost, the unsaved, and apostate, you know, relatives and friends and just people we run into. And I know God hears that. And so Lord, help us always to keep our hands clean and our hearts pure, and just in faith, Lord, that we have that faith to keep doing it. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Ben.
I just thought that I would, since we're all talking about people that we want to pray for, Karen's little brother, I've mentioned him before, Juan, he was brought up questions with me, and I think he just doesn't have a very deep understanding in the spirit because he's getting a little confused. He doesn't recognize that there can be multiple demon spirits and multiple different ways that the devil can attack you in a way. And I tried to show him all the different ways, like there were multiple demon spirits and the guy named Legion and all that. And I tried to show him that it was biblical that there's multiple demon spirits, and he wouldn't see it, or he couldn't see it. And you know, he jumps around from church to church, and he doesn't really know much. He doesn't know nothing, but he doesn't know much. And so I want to pray this confusion off of him, because he had it before and now he's kind of losing it. And so, Lord, Father God, I just want to pray for Juan, Lord Father God, I just pray that he searches for you deeply. Lord Father God, that he doesn't do it to just follow his friend group, but that he does it because he wants to please you and to enrich the Christ that you've given him. Lord Father God, give him an abundance of understanding in the Spirit. I want, Lord Father God, we want him, we all want to understand you, Father, and we all want to know how you move and how you do things. Lord Father God, I just pray that you enrich his mind with your mind. Keep giving him the fruit of the word, Father, to just really dig in and to really understand who you are. I pray this for all my brothers and sisters, Father, and I pray out any kind of division or any kind of confusion that's in his mind, and that he just wants the pure, unadulterated word of God, and that any sort of cover or any sort of anything that's sort of blocking him, Father, I rebuke it down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that over that whole family, Father, that they can just seek you 100% and they look away from religion. Thank you, Father, for the work that you've already done and moved through them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Also, a bit of a praise report. Sorry, Michael. A bit of a praise report. She didn't tell me, Karen. She didn't tell me this, but she stopped going to that Pentecostal church because she realized all the wrong that they were doing. So she hasn't been going to a church. No, I keep telling her you should listen. At least read that book, Sovereign God and Hidden Manna. At least read that. But no, she's just mostly been reading. That's mostly what she's been doing, and I said that's probably the best thing we can do. So praise God for that. She's out of there. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for a full revelation of who you are in that family. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I want to share something with y'all, if y'all would allow me. It's going to take me about 20 minutes to get through it. And the reason I wanted to share it is because it brings out a real needed fact in healing, in the healing ministry. And this is this came from Smith Wigglesworth giving a testimony. And if y'all don't mind, does anybody mind? That's good. Fixing to get you out of here. Anyway, let's see here. Let's see. No, I wouldn't do that. Okay, what the name of the entitlement of this thing is? And it's not very long. Why demons ignore you when you use Jesus' name? And he says this. He said, while most Christians never access the power they already have, six people walked into a bedroom where an Episcopalian vicar lay completely helpless. He could not even lift a spoon to feed himself. They had come to pray for his healing, and they anointed him with oil, just as James 14 instructs. They prayed their best prayers, but when they finished, nothing had changed. The man wept bitterly as he lay there, still broken, still hopeless. And those six believers walked out of that room with their heads down, discouraged and confused. They had done everything they knew to do. They had followed the biblical pattern. But the man remained in his bed unchanged. One of them stopped outside the door. He turned to the others and said something that would change everything. There's one thing we might have done. I wish you would all go back with me and try it. What happened next in that room demonstrates a power that most Christians never tap into, a reality that can transform every impossible situation you're facing right now. And let me tell you what happened when they went back into that room. They walked back in, gathered around that bed in a circle. This brother looked at the others and said, "Let us whisper the name of Jesus." Well, at first, nothing happened. And they whispered, "Jesus." Then again, "Jesus." The room was quiet except for their whispers. The sick man still lay there motionless, but they kept going on, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And then something began to shift. The power started to fall. They could feel it. The atmosphere in that room began to change. And as they sensed God beginning to work, their faith rose up. Their joy increased. And they started whispering the name louder, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And as they did, that man who had been completely helpless rose up from his bed. He got up and dressed himself. And the secret was this. Those six people had taken their eyes off the sick man. They were no longer focused on the problem. They had become completely taken up with the Lord Jesus himself. And their faith had grasped the power that exists in his name. Let me tell you something. If people would only appreciate the power that exists in that name, there's no telling what would happen in our churches and in our homes and in our lives. Acts 36 declares, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Peter and John understood something that most believers today have forgotten. They had no money. They had no influence. They had no formal education. But they had something infinitely more valuable. They had the name of Jesus. And through that name, all things are possible. Philippians 29:10 tells us that God has highly exalted Jesus and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every knee. That means every sickness, every demon, every impossible circumstance, every mountain you're facing right now, there's no power to overcome everything in the world. I'm sorry, there is power to overcome everything in the world through the name of Jesus. And I'm here to tell you that there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus. But let me share something that will revolutionize your understanding of this power. 2 years before I went up on that Welsh mountain to pray, two young men from Wales had visited our house. They were ordinary lads, but they had become zealous for God. And before they left, they said something unusual to me. "And we would not be surprised if the Lord brings you down to Wales to raise our Lazarus." This is what the boys told Wigglesworth. "We wouldn't be surprised if the Lord brings you down to Wales to raise our Lazarus." What they explained was that the leader of their assembly was a man who had worked in a tin mine during the day and preached at night. He'd given everything for the gospel, but the result was that he had collapsed. He had developed consumption. For 4 years, he had been a helpless invalid, having to be fed with a spoon. For those of you who don't know, consumption was TB. When I was up on that mountain praying in Wales, the Lord spoke to me clearly. He said, "I want you to go and raise Lazarus." And I wrote a postcard immediately to the man whose name those two young lads had given me. I wrote, "When I was up on the mountain praying today, God told me that I was to go and raise Lazarus." Well, when I arrived at that village and met the man to whom I had written, He looked at me with cold eyes. He threw the postcard back at me. Do you think we believe in this? He called his servant, take this man and show him Lazarus. Then he said to me, the moment you see him, you'll be ready to go home. Nothing will hold you here. Everything he said was true from the natural viewpoint. And when I walked into that room, I saw a man who was nothing but a mass of bones with skin stretched over him. There was no life to be seen anywhere. And everything about him spoke of decay and death. But here's where it gets interesting. I said to him, will you shout? And you remember that at Jericho, Joshua 6:20 tells us the people shouted while the walls were still standing. God has the same kind of victory for you if you will only believe. But I couldn't get him to believe. There was not an atom of faith there. He had made up his mind not to have anything to do with healing. Well, when I got back to the man who had thrown the postcard at me, he asked mockingly, are you ready to go now? Listen carefully. I am not moved by what I see. I am moved only by what I believe. No man looks at appearances if he truly believes. No man considers how he feels if he believes. And the man who believes God has it. And that night I told them I wouldn't eat anything. I was going to fast and pray. But when I got to bed, something happened that I will never forget. It seemed as if the devil tried to place on me everything that he had placed on that poor man in the bed. When I woke up, I had a cough. I had all the weakness of a tubercular in my own body. I rolled out of bed onto the floor and cried out to God to deliver me from the power of the devil. And I shouted loud enough to wake everybody in the house, but nobody was disturbed. God gave me complete victory. And I got back into bed as free as I had ever been in my life. And at 5 a.m, the Lord woke me up. He said to me clearly, don't break bread until you break it around my table. At 6 o'clock, hooded, he gave me these words from John 16:40, and I will raise him up. Whew! I put my elbow into the brother who was sleeping next to me, and he grunted. I jabbed him again. Do you hear? The Lord says that he will raise him up. And when we went to the house where Lazarus lived, there were 8 of us all together. I'll never forget how the power of God fell on us as we went into that sick man's room. It was glorious. We circled around the bed, and I had one brother hold one of the sick man's hands while I held the other. We each held the hand of the person next to us, forming a complete circle. I said, we're not going to pray. We're just going to use the name of Jesus. And we all knelt down and whispered that one word, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the power of God fell. Then it lifted. We kept whispering the name. The power fell again. Then it lifted. 5 times the power of God fell and lifted. But the man in the bed was completely unmoved. 2 years before this, someone had tried to raise him up and had failed. The devil had used that failure to discourage this man completely. And I said to him, I don't care what the devil says. If God says he will raise you up, it must be so. Forget everything else except what God says about Jesus. And the 6th time we whispered Jesus, the power of God fell, and this time something different happened. The sick man's lips began to move. Tears began to fall down his face. And I said to him, the power of God is here. It's yours to accept it. And he said, through his tears, I have been bitter in my heart, and I know I have grieved the Spirit of God. Here I am, helpless. I cannot lift my hands. I cannot even lift a spoon to my mouth. And he repented right there and cried out, "Oh God, let this be to your glory." And the very moment he said those words, the virtue of the Lord went through him like electricity. And as we said again, Jesus, 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 the bed began to shake. The man began to shake. And I said to everyone with me, "You can all go downstairs right away. This is all God. And I ain't going to help him at all." I sat there and I watched that man get up out of that bed. And I watched him dress himself. And we sang the doxology as he walked down those steps on his own 2 feet. Woo, glory to God. After 4 years of being bedridden, it was soon known all over the region that Lazarus had been raised up. People came from everywhere to see him and hear his testimony. God brought salvation to many through this one miracle. This man stood right out in the open air and told everyone what God had done. And as a result, many people were convicted of their sin and converted to Jesus. Acts 3:16 explains it perfectly. "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know." Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Think about Peter and John for a moment. They were helpless men. They were illiterate. They had no college education, but they had been with Jesus. They had received a wonderful revelation of the power that exists in the name of Jesus. They had handed out the bread and the fish after Jesus multiplied them. They had sat at the table with him. John had gazed into his face. Peter had often been rebuked by Jesus. But through it all, Jesus manifested his love to Peter. Brothers and sisters, he is a wonderful lover. I have been rewarded. I have been stubborn. I had an unimaginable temper at one time. But he has been so patient with me. I am here to tell you that there is power in Jesus and in his wondrous name to transform anyone, to heal anyone. Let me tell you about another time I was preaching about the name of Jesus in an open-air meeting. There was a man leaning against a lamppost listening. And beneath his coat, he had a silver handle dagger. He told me he was on his way to kill his unfaithful wife. But when he heard me speaking about the power of the name of Jesus, he couldn't get away. He felt completely helpless. I said, "Get down on your knees right here." And there on that public square with people passing up and down, that man got saved. And I took him to my home and I put new clothes on him. And he said to me the next morning, "God has revealed Jesus to me. I see that everything has been laid upon Jesus." That man invited his faithless wife back to the home he prepared for her. She came. And where enmity and hatred had been before, the whole situation was transformed by love. God made that man a minister wherever he went. In Stockholm, there was a meeting with 3,000 people present. And a man from a home for incurables was brought to the meeting. He had palsy. His whole body was shaking uncontrollably. And he stood up before all those people and came to the platform, supported by two other men using crutches. And the power of God fell on him as I anointed him in the name of Jesus. And the moment I touched him, he dropped his crutch. He began to walk in the name of Jesus. He walked down the steps and around that entire great building while everybody watched. And all across Scandinavia, I watched as God moved in power through his name. and meeting after meeting. The blind received their sight, the lame walked, those with consumption were made whole, and sinners were saved. And in one home for incurables, in just 1 hour, the Lord set about 20 people completely free. The testimonies were amazing. One would say, I was deaf, they prayed, and Jesus healed me. Another, I had consumption, and I am free, glory to God. Now, listen to me carefully, because I'm about to challenge you with something that most Christians will never do. Most believers have heard about the power of Jesus, Jesus' name, their whole lives. They have sung about it. They have read about it in their Bibles, but they have never actually used it. And here's what I have discovered. The majority of Christians are more impressed with their problems than they are with the power in Jesus' name. I'm going to read that again. The majority of Christians are more impressed with their problems than they are with the power in Jesus' name. They look at their sickness and they say, this is impossible. They look at their financial situation and they say, there ain't no way out. They look at their broken relationships and they say, this can't be fixed. But the real issue is not the size of your problem. The real issue is whether you will actually believe in and use the authority you have been given in the name of Jesus. Philippians 20 and verse 10 does not say that every knee should bow at some knees. It says every knee. That means the knee of cancer must bow. The knee of depression must bow. The knee of poverty must bow. The knee of addiction must bow. Everything must bow at the name of Jesus. But here's the truth that most Christians will not face. You have to actually use the name. You have to speak it over your situation. You have to stop just talking about your problem and start declaring the power of Jesus' name over it. Praise God. Most Christians have replaced faith with worry. They have replaced declaration with complaint. They have replaced the power of Jesus' name with the opinions of doctors and the predictions of experts and the limitations of human wisdom. And I'm issuing you a bold challenge today. For the next 30 days, I want you to do what those six people did in that Vickers room. Vickers, I don't know how you pronounce that. But I want you to take your eyes off your impossible situation and fix them completely on Jesus. And I want you to stop talking about how bad things are and start whispering, speaking, and declaring the name of Jesus over every area of your life. And when that fear comes, don't analyze it. Don't discuss it. Just say, Jesus, when that pain hits your body. Don't focus on it. Say, Jesus, when that bill comes, you don't know how you're going to pay it. Instead of panicking, declare, Jesus, you are my provider. And this ain't some formula. This is not some magic word. This is about taking your eyes off the natural circumstances and putting your complete trust in the supernatural power that exists in the name above every name. Now, most Christians will listen to this message and go right back to worrying about their problem. They'll go right back to being controlled by their circumstances. They'll go right back to living powerless Christian lives. But some of you are going to be different. Some of you are going to take this challenge seriously. You're going to start using the name of Jesus with authority and faith. And when you do, you're going to see things change that you thought would never change. And you need to understand something about your position in Christ. John 14, verses 13 and 14 records Jesus saying, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Y'all hear that? Whatever you ask in his name, he gonna do it. That's not my promise. This is Jesus' own words. But you have to actually ask. You have to actually use that authority that he's given us. And when you were born again, you were not just forgiven of your sins. You were given access to everything that is in Jesus' name. You were given the legal right to use that name. But those rights are worthless if you never exercise them. Amen. All right. Has anybody got any questions? I said anybody. Got any questions? Go ahead, Missy. Go ahead, Missy.
Can you send that out to us? That was so good.
Yeah, I'll send it.
Money. I do not have money. I only got Jesus to give you.
Okay. Yeah, I'll send it to everybody. Everybody that wants it. Everybody wants it. Copy of it. It's real short. It's a booklet. It's in a booklet.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Has anybody got any comments? Yeah, Debbie.
Yeah, I do. That was just so powerful. Which is so powerful. And I don't know, Michael, remember when I shared our meeting, our last meeting for my grandson, Jonah?
Yeah.
I shared about him. He's okay.
Well, you can share it again if you'd like.
I am. I wasn't going to because I thought whoever would get on here, Victor wouldn't like that knowing what they know. But it doesn't matter. I want this healing for Jonah. And I wanted us to do the same thing. Anyway, first I'll tell you, I was getting so overcome by the power of that testimony as you're reading that. And just came, Jonah just came to me. And he's got this problem with his bowels. I don't know if he doesn't have control of his bowels. She's not sure if he's just being lazy. But it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing that Victory has to deal with. He's a big boy. He's a big boy. He's got a big belly, you know. And I pray she doesn't get on her period this. But anyway, you know, it's a big thing. And now he's in the special needs school. And they're dealing with the same thing that she had to deal with at home. And she's terribly embarrassed. You have to clean him up, you know. She's, I don't know if I have to just get him in diapers or send him to school in diapers or what, you know, but it's just so awful that I was just picturing him. I just started praying for him and I just started using the name of Jesus. I just, the power of God just came upon me. I was just using the name of Jesus. I just had to. And then the spirit of tongues came on me so strongly as I've never really felt come upon me before. And then just got to my knees. I just had my hands over, I could imagine Jonah, and I had my hands over his head and I was just declaring the name of Jesus over his head. And I was just, which is so powerful. And I just felt like, I just want every one of us to just do that. If you could all just, you know, you don't know what he looks like, of course, but imagine putting your hands over him and us declaring his healing together. Because it's, I just know God can do it. He needs to be freed. And I think you guys, I think we just claim the name of Jesus, Father, pronounce the name of Jesus and declare it over Jonah, Father God. For healing, God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your mercy, Father God. Come down upon him, God. Thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we just thank you, Father, your name, Lord, your holy name, your powerful name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this healing to come upon him, God. We just speak the name of Jesus. Jesus, have mercy, Father God. Jesus, put faith in victory. Put faith in victory, Father, could believe you for her son, Father. Overcome her, God, with faith right now. Well up in her, God, with faith in her very being, God. To fill her, Father, with faith to believe for Jonah, God. Lord God, just give her that victory, Lord. Give her that victory, Father God, to believe you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. God, just declare that healing for Jonah. We speak your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for deliverance for Jonah. Thank you for healing him, Father God. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you,
God,
Jesus.
I just believe you, and I thank you, Lord, that you're going to use our faith to heal him. In the name of Jesus. Jonah, be healed. And behold, in the name of Jesus, this yes. spirit of infirmity or whatever it is, laziness or whatever, you bow your knees right now and leave him. We praise
yes.
you,
Father, Jesus' name.
That Jonah Hallelujah. Is delivered and set free. Glory you, be to God. Glory Hallelujah. Be to God. Jonah, clap your hands because you're healed, delivered,
Amen.
And set free, boy.
Declare Jesus, it. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Everybody believe that.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. He's running around. He's telling his mama, the power of God is on me
right
now.
Yes, God. Running to the bathroom, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God.
Thrill her. Thrill her with this. Hallelujah.
We're going to hear the great, wonderful testimony coming from his mama, and that he has been set free to the glory of God.
Oh, praise
to the glory of God. Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
We
Jesus,
speak Jesus, Jesus over Jonah.
Jesus over Jonah.
Thank
Jesus
you, Lord.
Over
he
Jonah.
Is already
Jesus over victory.
Completely
Jesus,
healed.
Father. Everything they need, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And we command that brain to light up with the word of God and function like it's supposed to in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. There is no lack in the kingdom of God, and he is part of it. In the name of Jesus, he is freed from all of that.
God,
right
God.
Now, in Jesus' name, glory be to God. Y'all believe that? I believe it for Jonah. I know what he looks like, too, because I've seen his picture.
Thank you, Jesus.
Woo! Glory to God.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, everybody. Praise the Lord. Can I share a testimony, too?
Sure.
I was thinking back on this testimony years ago when Jonah came to me and all that power came upon me like that. But this is the only time I ever experienced healing anybody. Or God healing, you know, but many years ago, my one sister who's been sick with everything all her life and still is, but years ago, she had a blood clots in her lungs and she was down in bed. And it was pretty bad. And so Danny and I and my sister Joy decided to go and pray over her. And we prayed on the way there. And we got there and we got around her bed, and her husband Dennis was there too, who's a very nominal Christian. And basically she was too, but we just started worshiping the Lord around her bed. We got so powerful. We're just singing worship songs and we were speaking the name of Jesus and more worship songs. And so it was just so amazing. And then there was a point came where we just felt we had our hands on her body. And all of a sudden there was such a power that came in the room. I just started shaking and they did too. And we knew that this healing was coming into Becky. We started praising God. And all of a sudden she sat up and she said, "I'm healed." And she got up and went and made coffee, you know, and she went back to the doctor and they didn't even find any scar tissue from the clots. They were gone and no scar tissue either.
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah, that was an incident, one incident, but she didn't keep that, not in that instance, the lungs she's kept clear, but she's not had victory over the rest of the sicknesses that have come upon her. So I just pray for her too, that God will send, fill her with faith by things I've shared with her and she'd get in the word. But that was a victory. So it's the only time we've ever experienced anything like that. I wanted to share that because it does happen. Thank you, Jesus. Has happened.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Julie, did you have something you wanted to share with us? Let's see. I speak Jesus by charity. Yeah, go ahead. Sing it out, girl.
I will, but I'll have my mic closed.
Oh, okay.
Declaring there is hope and there is freedom.
Jesus over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name.
Man, that was about as appropriate as you can get. Thank you, Lord. Speaking Jesus. I like that song, too. Y'all need to learn that, Debbie. I'm just saying. Oh, my. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share or ask or talk about? Yeah, Missy.
Well, there's another song that came to me, and actually it's not as good as this one. And I'm trying. I was just singing it, and I'm trying to remember this one piece of it.
Well, you always want to play the bad song first, and then play the good song after that.
Well, this one isn't bad. It's just not as good as that one.
Okay, I thought that had to do with wine, Michael. I thought that had to do with wine. You serve the bad wine first, and then you say serve the good wine.
No, you serve the good wine first. When they start getting kind of woozy, you serve the bad wine.
Except Jesus served the good wine first. That's what I meant. Sorry.
Yeah, he did. He did. He sure did. But if you got one, Missy, we'll listen to it.
Well, I was going to sing it. Come back to me in a minute. There's just this tiny little piece I'm not remembering. I have to look it up quick.
Okay. All right. Has anybody else got something they'd like to share or ask or give us a comment on? Yeah, Julie.
Just quick question. The guy that you shared the story about, that was from Wigglesworth, right? That was something he wrote, and he was part of that group.
Yeah,
it was praying,
it's on,
right?
YouTube. It's on YouTube, yeah.
Okay. The first guy you're talking about with the TB that was skin and bones, and it was tuberculosis, right? Is that what you called it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it had another name, but you said for those who don't know, that's tuberculosis.
Oh, yeah.
TB,
yeah.
Tuberculosis. Okay. The guy that got that. The guy who got that, he said he was working in the mines, but he was like a preacher. He'd given his whole life to Jesus, and then he got sick with this thing.
Yeah.
So he was there, and he was bitter because he was bitter with God because he got sick. Was that kind of the gist of it? Because of the illness?
He was working all day, and I mean working all day, and then preaching every night. And looks like that the consumption, they called it consumption.
Consumption.
Back then. And it's actually, it was TB, But
Okay.
yeah, that's
So
when
he
he came
became bitter
down.
because he got sick, essentially, is what it was.
He
Okay.
came, no, he got bitter. He got bitter because some people came and prayed for him, and nothing ever happened. And he took it
Thank
out
you.
on God. And then these people showed up, and God showed out.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. A lot of times what happens is people give up too quickly. Yeah, Missy.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
It's Gaither's song. There's just something there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's just something about that name. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's just something about that name. I'm in the basement today. Thank you, Lord. Your name is precious. You're muted, Michael.
You can't hear me? Okay. I saw you fixing raise your hand, Andrew. Or were you just trying to tell me that I was muted? Okay. All right. I knew I was. I was just checking to see if y'all were listening. All right. What'd you think about that, Pat?
You talking about Smith, Wigglesworth,
Well,
that
that little,
testimony?
yeah, that
Yes.
testimony that it gave.
I'm looking to see that same thing happen, and I believe it's all speaking his name and speaking out, and I get that basically that is where I'm at right now, and I don't know what else I can say about it right now, but I know that the Lord has been bringing me, I guess, I have been seeking him to, in continual watching and listening and praying for this and that same breakthrough that I believe was described there in that that testimony. And even these testimonies of just speaking the name of Jesus and continuing
in that speaking his name, getting my eyes off of my perceived dilemmas and putting them on him and his ability. So I don't have anything specific to say other than that. Just, you know, that I believe the Lord is pulling me through that process.
Amen.
And all I can say is that I just trust him and thank him for his ability. And just continue to seek him. So,
amen. One thing that I found out through the many years is this: you have to exert your authority in that name of Jesus. When I say exert that authority, don't let the devil talk you out of anything, because that's his job. Our job is to talk him out the person that you're praying for. He's got to go. He's got to go. And we have to have that resolve and that continual bashing him all the time. And he'll finally go. He'll go. A lot of times it's instantaneous. A lot of times it takes a little while. I knew back when I was on the streets praying for folks, it's liable to be instantaneous. It might be 40 minutes later. It might be 2 days later, but it's going to happen if you keep your faith that it's doing and that God's doing his work. I can't tell you how many people that I've had call me 2 days later and said, "Well, I got set free last night. Finally got set free." Well, he was set free when we prayed for him, but it worked itself out after that 2 days. I believe this, and I believe just like some other people, very few people do. I believe that you can pray and heal anybody at any time. And just like Curry says, Pat, as you well know, he says this. He says the only hindrance to healing is to believe there is a hindrance. There is no hindrance to healing when you use the name of Jesus. There's no hindrance. Okay, Missy.
I don't know very many of you are going to remember this. Oh, several years ago, Willie Thomas, when he used to get on, and this was even a time, I think, where he was.
Who?
Willie Thomas.
Oh, Willie, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was talking about, like in particular, healing, you know, pain. You got this pain, he said, about just keeping focused on the Lord and not on the pain. I just distinctly remember him talking about that. And,
well, if you like, see what Wigglesworth said the same thing in that little ditty that I just got through saying.
Right, exactly. But so, Lord, help us all to just keep focused on you, keep our minds on you, and just call out to you all the time, Jesus, 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 like he said there, Lord, give us the fortitude, the determination, the strength, Lord, no matter what we're going through, whether it's pain, whether it's a problem, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. There's nothing that you can't do. All things, whatsoever things are impossible with man, all things are possible with God. And your word is true, and we believe your word, that I just often think, the Lord has the answer and He is the answer. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for being such a great Savior, for saving us in every area of our life, Lord. We just praise you and thank you.
Amen. You know what I always wanted to do, Missy? I wanted to go up on the third floor of a children's hospital in Little Rock. That's the terminal kids. That's where all the terminal kids are. And you know why they're terminal? It's because they're killing them with those, with that chemotherapy. And I wanted to clean it out, man. I wanted to clean it out. And I believe God's going to let us do that one of these days. Yeah, Julie.
I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you saw. I saw it on X last night or this morning. Can't remember when it was. I think it was anyhow. That RFK Jr. Has said anyhow. I thought it was Trump announced it or something. But they have decided now. I don't know how official it is or if it has a law or whatever. But children now are only going to be vaccinated with 11 vaccines, as opposed to. As opposed
27.
to the 77 or whatever it was that were mandatory over a period
27.
of years for children to have. Now it's down to, and these were apparently like the most more serious childhood diseases or something. I don't know how many I got when I was a kid. It wasn't that many. It probably could, I don't know, on one hand how many I got as a kid. I don't remember. But that's what they've lowered it down to is 11, as opposed to, and they show this diagram as a baby, with all these little syringes all around it and stuff. I can imagine 77 around these little children's, anyhow, I thought that was, it's a step. Even though we believe vaccines are wrong, period. But, I guess, they're still part in the world about what all that is. Go ahead, Missy.
I saw that on TV last night, and I thought for sure they said because, and I. They said 17. It was 17, and now it's 11. But I think they said it like that because some of them are repetitive ones, or a series of vaccines. I'm almost sure I heard them say 17 down to 11, but
How about
basically
17
don't need the
down to
details.
zero?
Yeah, exactly. But praise the Lord, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that, and we thank you, Lord, that it's gonna. That you're working in people's hearts, Lord, and your people's hearts in particular, your elect, Lord, and they're going to come to the knowledge of the truth that these vaccines are horrible, no matter which ones they are, and believe you, Lord, believe you for the children and for themselves, and we thank you, Lord, for the defeat of pharmakia. In your people, in their hearts and their minds, Lord, that they lay down this idol. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Back in 67, when I went to Morocco, I can't tell you how many shots they gave us just to go across over there. And then the very last shot they gave us was a big old needle about that long that had a pocket on it about, it seemed like it to me, it's probably smaller than that, but it seemed like it was great big. It was a big old vial of what is that stuff, that antivirus stuff, penicillin, a penicillin just in case. Yeah, that's what they said, just in case. And they had to give it to you in your butt because it was too big to put it in your arm. Yeah, you walked around with a limp for a week and a half. Go ahead, Julie.
Why did they have to be used such a big needle?
You'll have to ask them.
It's intimidation.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me, well, what, let me tell you, there was some intimidated guys. Some of them passed out, man. I ain't gonna take that shot. Damn, they was gone. But yeah, it's just it's horrendous is what the pharmaceuticals and the medical field has done to people. Largest killer of people is doctors' mistakes, so-called doctors' mistakes. Yeah, Nick.
I got another prayer request. He's a friend of mine that goes to my church right here in Michigan in Goodrich. And he's in the hospital too, and he's on a ventilator. He just had shoulder surgery, and they had him on a heart monitor and ventilator and oxygen and all that and everything. And now he's got a fever of 101.
Who is this now?
His name is Ray Hunt.
Is he a friend of yours?
Yeah, from church.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, Father, you want to pray for him? Since you know all about it, why don't you pray for him, Nick? We'll believe
Okay,
with you.
yes. Dear Heavenly Father, we just lift Ray before you and all this stuff he's going through right now. We just ask for your healing on him, and in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you that Ray is healed and delivered and he is set free. And we praise you, Father, that you're going to guide the physicians into getting him out of there real quick. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you,
Amen.
Lord. Yeah, Julie.
I just want to add a little bit. Oh, Father, we thank you for your power. Your name is Power Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we command all infection out of his body, whatever's causing the fever
Yeah.
and the reasons for him to be hooked up to a respirator and everything else that's happening within his body. We speak healing over him right now in the name of Jesus and command every infirmity to go. And thank you, Lord, for full recovery. I thank you, Lord, for giving him and his family peace. We speak against the enemy. We bind up and cast out all fear, anxiety, confusion, doubt, and everything else that the enemy puts in there when people are sick. And the bad report, we break every curse that's been spoken over Ray too, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for putting faith in that family's heart to believe you, to turn to you, Lord, and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Okay, something else I want to bring about tonight. Is it anybody that has not heard that lady's prophetic word about the earthquakes coming? Everybody heard of that? What's her name? Proud Pound or something like that.
Allison Pound.
Yeah. Allison
Sorry,
Pound.
Michael, I can hardly hear you. I'm kind of low. Sorry to interrupt.
Can you hear me now? Oh, no, I was talking about Allison Pound's prophetic word. You can't hear me now? Get
Put your
closer to
mic a
me.
little closer.
It is. It's not even a foot away.
That's much better.
What say ye, Debbie? You're muted. That's probably best.
It's okay. Yeah.
Do what?
Better. It's a little better.
Look, is this better?
Oh, there you go.
Okay. All right. Now see if I can get a little closer here. My wire's holding it back. All right. What were we talking about? I done lost.
Allison Pound's testimony,
Oh
her
yeah, the
prophecy.
testament. Didn't anyone not hear or see that prophetic word about the earthquakes coming, hitting Japan first and then hitting California? Okay, good. Praise the Lord. Start praying for people that you know about and the elect in those areas and pray that God would get them out of there. I believe that's going to set off a lot more because she said it was going to be an 8 point in Japan. That's a big one. And if it's that big there, it may be that big in California too. If that's the case, well, she did say that the one in California was going to go all over the United States. Everybody would feel it. Most everybody would feel it. And if he does that, it's liable to trigger the New Madrid and also the East Coast fault. Yeah, Julie.
One of the things I noticed about that prophecy, that there were things that she spoke that confirmed or agreed with some of the things that Brandon Biggs had spoken recently about earthquakes, and that the fish dying and washing up on the shores was going to be a sign. And that was in the Pacific specifically is what he said. And he's, you know, in the ring of fire, to watch the ring of fire. And of course that's all throughout the, you know, the Pacific there. And that would be a sign. And to me, what it meant is there something happening on the ocean floor, whether it be heat related from underground volcanic or, you know, activity that would kill the fish, that kind of thing, that they would wash up and that would be a sign. Or I didn't know if that was going to come first or what, but it was just some things that confirmed other things. The timing of that, we don't know. The one thing that I kind of looked at when she gave the scriptures about the timing, or I shouldn't say the timing, the scripture she gave was Revelation 7 verses 1 and 2. And when you read that chapter, that has to do with the timing of the anointing. You know, it's like when they were the 144,000, the 12 tribes of Israel were sealed, don't do anything until they're sealed. And I believe that happens at mid-trib. And that's the only thing that I thought was conditional as far as the timing, when that was, because of the words that she spoke and timing of what she said, that and the scriptures had to do with the mid-trib.
Amen. She also said that she would tell her prophets before the earthquake in Japan. She would let them know. So we're going to get warned one way or the other. God's elect are going to be looking. I believe it's going to be, yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I happen to see something on YouTube. There's this guy that I think Angelica shared something before. He's some kind of, I don't know what he is, some kind of scientist or something or whatever. He's just, I'd say he's in his 30s, talking about recent earthquakes. There was recently one up on Yukon, Alaska, that was a 7-something. And then the one down on Acapulco area was 6-something. And then there was one down around six Peru, whatever. And he's saying like, they're due for one there. Because what he was saying sounded very similar to some things that I've heard Dutch since say. Anyway, and he was talking about the killing off of the fish. And he was saying about that there has been some of that, of fish washing up on the shores. And anyway, he was saying about, he was warning about a California quake soon. He doesn't know how soon per se, but I mean these earthquakes that I just mentioned, that he mentioned, he made it kind of sound like it was going to be fairly soon, because there's this balancing out of the plates and whatever. I'm not a scientist, I can't regurgitate what he said, but but we know the Japan one has to happen first, because like Julie was saying, things that her and Brandon have said, do confirm each other or back each other up or whatever. And I know I'm pretty sure he said Japan is first and then California. I may be wrong. Sometimes you it's hard to remember who said what, but anyway, but so yeah. The major thing is the fish washing up. And I think it's because of volcanoes going off underground, under the water, and it killing the fish. You know, and then you get the fish wash up and but I think the volcanoes going off is what also eventually sets off those earthquakes, you know, too. So.
Well, I would imagine if there's earthquakes going on off underground under the, ocean floor, that it's emitting gases and that kind of stuff too, which would, and the fish breathe, that comes into their bodies and stuff. So thank you, Lord, for getting your people moved out of harm's way and in due time, Lord. We pray that and we thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. And I remember too that there was going to be something about major earthquake up in like Oregon, Washington, Oregon area too, and that's where the that those plates, whatever they call Cascadia, that area, those. And we've heard prophecies about that too, that that would be going off even before the big old San Andreas down here. That would be more toward the north, but I don't know. God can do whatever he wants. It's his timing, but. But the whole western part of the U.S. is west of the Rockies is in judgment territory, So thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, bless us and deliver your people, God. I know you have places of refuge out this way too, God, so it's not going to be total loss. And thank you, Lord, for preparing those people and the work that you've given them to do in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, Nick.
I just got a message from my mom. They're finally in a room.
Well, praise God. Thank you, Lord.
After 9 hours of sitting in the waiting room.
That's why I like hospitals. You get to meet all kinds of nice people. Being there for hours and hours and hours.
Well, praise God he's in a room now, so.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Did you
They
let
can
her
hear
know that
us
we
now.
prayed
Yeah,
for
I did. I
you
texted
and your
her and
mom?
told her.
Okay. Amen.
Yep.
Go ahead, Julie.
Hey, Nick, are you there by yourself or is your sister there?
I met my grandparents, actually.
Oh, okay, good. All right, I didn't know where you're at. That's good. Okay.
Yep.
Do you have to work tomorrow?
Nope, I have tomorrow off.
Okay. Thank you, God. You worked all these things out.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? I just sent that thing out to y'all. I said, let me know if you did not get it. Okay. Good. Good, 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 good. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
Speaking of earthquakes, my niece, I think she still lives out in the San Francisco area, and I'm not sure, but I think she was home over Christmas. And I'm going to see my brother and sister-in-law this coming weekend, Lord willing. And it's like, I'm like, Lord, if you want me to say something, you have to open the door Because I've tried to communicate with Anna before, just to wish her happy birthday or whatever via email or text or whatever, and she never responds. So I'm like, Lord. So I want you to all agree with me, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you will put it into Anna's heart if you haven't already. I know her mom and dad have expressed that she at one point was thinking about moving back. Lord, put it in her heart to leave there. And Lord, I know it's like people have been hearing out in California for years, yeah, we got the big one coming. When's it gonna come? So it's kind of like a boy crying wolf kind of thing almost. People don't believe it. But Lord, we just ask you, Lord, that you'll put it in Anna's heart and everybody else's heart of your elect, Lord, that they will know this is not crying wolf and take it seriously, Lord. And I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, for doing that for Anna, getting her out of there and keeping her safe, Lord, and bringing her into your kingdom in a mighty way, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray for my daughter. Lord, I lift up Courtney to you, and I thank you, Father, for the power that you've given us, the authority that you've given us over all the power of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of unforgiveness in her heart, and I command it to go in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for your love for you that she used to have. And Lord, I thank you that once again she's going to come into the kingdom and be a mighty woman of God. And I thank you, Father, for breaking off of her all of this liberal garbage in Jesus' name. I bind it up and cast it off of her right now in Jesus' name. And I loose you from her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Courtney and bringing the love for her dad and her God back to her, Lord. And I praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Can I share something that it was kind of one of those things that the Lord gave me, and I'm not quite sure if it fits in with what we have been talking about tonight, but over in John, first chapter of John is in verse 4. He's talking about Jesus. Excuse me. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In verse 5, it said, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. And of course, if you look up that word apprehend, it means to lay hold of, or to lay hold of so as to possess as one's own, to appropriate, to seize upon, to take possession of, etc. And so what it says in that verse is that the darkness, when that light shines in the darkness, that darkness doesn't have the ability to lay hold of it or to possess it or to seize upon it or to overcome it. And the Lord gave me kind of a reminder of something that happens. I'm assuming this has probably happened to every one of us, is you'd walk into a room, into a dark room, and you flip the light on, and out of the corner of your eye, you maybe saw a mouse scurry to, to the darkness, or to behind a, cabinet or table or something. And that thought, as I was thinking about that, is that, that mouse was in that room and had free rein, so to speak, free run of the room, and probably felt fairly secure, wandering around wherever it wanted to. But the interesting thing is, when that light came on, that thing scattered. Just it instinctively ran for cover. And of course, that's the same thing the devil does, is when, or quite frankly, people that are overcome by the darkness, when that light comes in, there's an automatic repulsion, or desire to run for cover, or to get out of the light, or put the light out, or cover themselves from that light. And immediately I think of that example of the governor of Minnesota, responsible for, probably multi-billions of dollars of fraud and waste under his administration, and probably complicit in some of that thing. And of course, when the light, if you happen to watch that little, there's like a 30-minute video of this. What was his name? Shirley. I don't remember his full name, but he was the kid that went through with this other guy, and they d basically went to all of these daycare centers and whatnot, and they literally just, and you went to these, they went to these places, and they had the windows blacked out, and they wouldn't open the door, and it was just very, there was darkness there, and they were hidden behind that darkness, and that evil that is happening there. And so one of the discouraging things in our government that happens is that through a lot of these congressional committees, and they're next, in another week, they're gonna Congress is gonna call these Waltz or whatever, Walls or whatever his name is, and he'll be before the committees, and they'll be asking him pointed questions and this and that, and he'll be embarrassed, etc. But then, as a general rule of thumb, nothing ever happens. And that's the discouraging thing about, bringing this light to the situation, in that, they'll make a few changes or whatever, but these people are very seldom held accountable for their actions. And As I was thinking about that example about the mouse, scattering for light, from the light, you could sit there, and you could leave the light on in that room, from here until, whenever. That would be one way of keeping that mouse out of that room. Keep the light on, and every once in a while, do bang something around in there and whatever. Keep the and basically keep the light on. But most people would say, "Okay, I want to. I'm not gonna turn my light on and run up the electrical bill. I'm going to go down to the hardware store and get a mouse trap, and I'm going to set it in there, and then I'm going to turn the light off, and then the next click you hear is bang." And the problem is eliminated, because you now don't have to worry about keeping the light on in that room. You've eliminated the perpetrator of that evil, of that darkness. And if you look, and so there's a reason for the, God has, if you read Romans, the first three or four verses of Romans 13, you'll see that God has created authority and structures of authority to restrain evil, and to for rulers are not a terror to good work, but of evil. And wouldest thou have no fear of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, he bears not the sword in vain, for he's a minister of God, an avenger for wrath to him that doeth evil. So there is the concept of flipping the light on. And then there's also a process of removing the evil. And I think that this exercising of authority that we were speaking about tonight, especially with Smith Wigglesworth, and speaking about using the name of Jesus. And that's the, I guess, the point of exercising authority and establishing Christ's domain in the earth today. And obviously he will do that through us, and through us as we speak the name of Jesus, speak the word, and speak the truth. But it's that combination, or knowing when to do, to use, whether to put forth the light or exercise the authority. And I guess that's the transition that I'm making in my heart and in my mind, is how to allow that to happen within myself, how to remove the restrictions from that happening, or from that being hindered within me. So anyway, I just thought I would share that here before we bug out for the night.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pat. All right. Anybody got anything before we clear out of here? Close out. Well, Father God, we just ask and we pray for your help in getting this message to each and every one of us, Lord, about declaring the name of Jesus in everything that we do. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that we are going to apply this in a more productive way. And we're going to see a lot of miracles. And I praise you and thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, bless everybody sleep tonight that needs it, and those that are fixing to go to work. Give them the strength and wisdom to do it, in Jesus' name. All right, y'all be blessed, you hear?